All right. Grab your Bibles. Stand up. Wave your Bibles in the air. Just wave them in the devil's face. Just let them know that you mean business today. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
And I can have what it says I can have.
And I can have what it says I can have.
With this Bible.
With this Bible.
I can destroy. The works of the enemy.
The works of the enemy.
With this Bible.
With this Bible.
I can appropriate. Every blessing.
Every blessing.
My Father God has for me.
My Lord Jesus died for me.
And the Holy Spirit would give to me.
And the Holy Spirit would give to me.
With this Bible.
I'm going to learn.
How to love you. No matter how ugly you are.
In Jesus' name.
I'll never be the same. Amen. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to get into your word this morning. Lord, we bless you and we praise you and we glorify your name in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. For the past several weeks, months, whatever have you, we've been talking on the subject, forgiveness, the key to victory.
Yes.
We've been talking on the subject of forgiveness, the key to victory. Now I want you to shout with joy because after 10, I think more than 10 sessions, we are finally on the last one. Say Alpha.
Alpha.
Say Omega.
Omega.
You had the first.
You had the first.
Now you're going to get the last.
Now
that doesn't mean we ain't going to touch on the subject again. As a matter of fact, if I still see y'all acting up, we might do it again next week. I will start with the first notes and go all the way through it again until y'all get this. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, so if you don't want to hear this again and you want to move on to something else, you're saying, Pastor Troy, please teach me something else. Then start forgiving each other and start loving each other. Amen.
Amen.
I want to teach something else. Anyway, next week I will be sitting down taking a break. Your missions pastor, Pastor Christie, will be enlightening you on some on mission stuff.
Amen.
We are a missions church. Amen.
Amen.
We are an evangelistic ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're not a social club. We're not here to sit around and enjoy one another. That's part of it. We should be enjoying one another. We should be fellowshipping with one another. But after all the fellowshipping, after all the, girl, and what's up with that? And, what's up, man? And all the other stuff. After we've gone through all that, it's time to get out and win some souls for Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
There's too many people out there dying. Too many people going to hell. And it's not even necessary for them to go there. After Jesus has paid the price for them, we need to be out there letting them know. C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, once said that if they're going to go to hell, make sure that they jump over you to get there. Make sure that they push their way through you to get to hell. But make sure that you are trying your best to block the way for them to get to hell. I'm paraphrasing what Spurgeon said. The way he said it was probably better than the way I said it. But the whole point is that you do your best to teach people and explain to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and that the fact that he died as their substitute.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Last week, we began talking about some false ideas concerning forgiveness. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what they were, I would say we had the CDs in the back, but I haven't made any CDs in a while, so we'll get them to you. If you want last week's CD, come up here and let me know. If you want the notes, I have the notes up here as well. But we went through 7 of the 15 reasons last week. We began talking about the 8th reason, and we're going to finish that one up today. The 8th reason was, forgiving is okay, but I believe that I should seek justice for the wrong things that were done to me. Forgiving is okay, but I believe that I should seek justice for the wrong things that were done to me. There is truth and there is some falsity in there. You know, how many of y'all know that a little poison on a nice piece of meat can kill you? If you want to kill a dog, put a teeny weeny bit of poison on a piece of meat. How many of y'all would drink this water if you knew that somebody put a little drop of something nasty in it? No, you wouldn't. So a whole lot of truth with a little bit of poison in it can still kill you. So there is some truth in the fact that justice should be served when somebody does certain wrong thing. If somebody raped you, for example, they should be brought to justice. Yes, you should forgive them, but the person, the individual, most certainly should be brought to justice. If somebody robbed you or mugged you, and you know who it is, the person should be brought to justice. Why? Not for your personal vengeance or your personal satisfaction, but because you don't want that person doing it to somebody else. If they did it to you and they get away with it, more than likely they will do it to someone else. So yes, the person should be brought to justice. We saw from last week in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19, we won't go there. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, it talks about somebody knocking out somebody's tooth. And that person has to be brought before the judges of Israel. And if the judges of Israel deemed that that's what the person did, then they got their tooth knocked out. But it was after the judges declared that it should be done, that it was done. It wasn't the person going out being a vigilante and saying, well, you knocked my tooth out, I'm going to take a bat to yours and knock every last one of yours out. It wasn't a matter of personal vengeance. Now, what the Pharisees did in Jesus' time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they twisted the law of Moses, distorted it, took it out of its context, and they taught that passage as if you have the right to personal vengeance. Jesus was not saying that there is no such thing as punishing someone for crimes that they've done. What he was saying is that you don't go about seeking personal vengeance for what somebody did to you. Now again, somebody does a crime, they need to do the time. Justice is right. But you don't go out getting your own personal vengeance. Your name is not Batman. Now, I happen to like Batman. I'm sorry. Y'all forgive me. Pastor just loves Batman. You know, when the Batman movie comes out, Pastor will be the first one at the theater saying, get him, Bruce! Get the Joker! But when all is said and done, the movie is just a fantasy. All right, but we don't go out looking for personal vengeance upon people who do us wrong. But when a person has done certain crimes, they most certainly should be reported. They most certainly should be brought to justice. But after all of that, you still must make up your mind to forgive that person. But Brother Troy, you don't know what they did to me. You ain't never been. You're right, man. I am not. But I do know what the Bible says. And I have to teach you the Bible. No matter what the extent of your pain is, I can sympathize with you. I can cry with you. And I do that with people. I sit down with people. They tell me their pain. And I cry with them. Because when you're hurting, I'm hurting too. I love y'all that much. When I find out one of y'all is hurting, sometimes y'all don't know. My wife would tell you this. We had a brother who, right now, who's in prison falsely. I think he's been accused falsely, one of our brothers. And my wife should tell you, man, I sat down and cried like a baby when I was hurting so bad. So I will cry with you guys. But when all is said and done, we still must forgive our offenders. Praise God.
Amen.
If you remember all that we've talked about in this whole series, it's for your benefit not so much for theirs. It's for your benefit, because God's healing power, both in your body and your emotions, can be open to you and can touch you if you will make up your mind to do that. Now, those of us who are married, we get to practice this almost on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Don't we, husbands and wives? Yeah, buddy. Especially if you've been married a long time. I mean, because now, me and my wife, we've been married almost 24 years. We know exactly which buttons to push. We know how to, and we know how to push them good, too. We're learning, you know, my wife and I are learning to really walk in love towards each other. But every once in a while, I get that temptation to just push that button. I've learned to fight it with all my being. But we have learned in the marriage home how to forgive one another. Ain't that right, Pastor Chris?
That's true.
Ain't that right, Sister Elise? Oh, praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. But it's not just with us. I mean, you got three of the best friends sitting here. Yeah. How many times have one of you made mad at the other? Have you ever been mad at your best friend, Jasmine? No? You never been mad? Man, y'all ain't lived long then. I had some best friends that have gone down and dirty.
Yes.
But you know what has kept them to be my best friend? After we fought and screamed at each other and I won't say cuss each other out. You know, I was Christian when I had most of my best friends. But after all that, yo man, I'm sorry, man. Mm-hmm. Me too. So what you doing tonight? Not bad. What you going on over? Alright. But see, you gotta learn to do that. But see, don't seek personal vengeance, personal justice. If somebody's done you wrong and they've committed a serious crime, send them to take them to justice, but you don't try to go after them yourself. Praise God. And then you forgive them after they've done you wrong. Alright. False idea concerning forgiveness, number 9. God is a God of mercy and grace. Even if I don't forgive, He will forgive me anyway. Wrong! Say wrong.
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 God has specifically stated in His Word that if you do not forgive, neither will He forgive you. That's right. We've learned that in lesson 1 and 2 and 3 and lesson 55. And all right. We're going to look at that scripture one more time. Now, let's just look at Mark 11, 26. It says the same thing, but Mark chapter 11. One of the scriptures of us faith preachers, you know, we just love us in Mark 11. I remember one time my pastor, when I was in California, preached on this for so many months. Y'all thought I've been preaching on this subject for a long time. Boy, he got on our last nerve. But we finally learned something from it. We learned to practice what we heard. All right. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 25. Well, let's begin with verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. God wants to answer your prayers. Praise God. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all know that God wants to answer your prayers?
Amen.
Praise God. He wants to give you whatsoever you desire. Verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. God is saying here, He can't do it unless you do it. Verse 26 makes it even more clear. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. God, yes, he is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. But remember what we just said a moment ago? How truth mixed with a little lie is nothing but meat with poison. That's what it is. God, see, people like to take what they do, and this is, I want to teach y'all how the devil works. He'll take some truth, and you say, yeah, that's right. God is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. And then here comes the lie. So if you don't forgive, God will still forgive you, because that's it. That's what great, how grace and mercy work. Yeah. I don't have to forgive him. I don't have to forgive her. I hate her guts. I can't stand him. No good thing. Can't stand this. Can't stand the ground he walks on. No, but that's not the way it works. God's grace and God's mercy is upon condition. You didn't think grace and mercy had conditions to it, did you? Well, they do. You have to forgive. You have to show graciousness to others. You have to show merciful. Jesus said, mercy will be given to the merciful. Mm-hmm. There are conditions to God's mercy. There are conditions to his grace. You can't receive them unless you do what God told you to do. So these passages speak clearly to the effect that God will not forgive you until you made up your mind to forgive those who have hurt you. Praise God. If you want God's forgiveness, if you want God's grace, if you want God's mercy, you need to be forgiving people. Don't be sitting up there saying, well, he's a God of grace. It doesn't matter what I do. Yes, it does matter what you do. Paul said, shall I sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You don't sin just because, you know, people, I think too many of the body of Christ today believe in what's called, what I call, or what I've heard called greasy grace. They take God's grace for license. Well, God's going to forgive me anyway, so I'll just do whatever I want. No, baby, don't work that way. God will forgive you, and he'll forgive you of anything and everything. But there are conditions. For example, some of y'all playing around with God too much. You're thinking you can just sin and do what you want. You don't know when that bus will come and hit you. You don't know when that stray bullet will catch you in the head. You stop playing around like that. God loves you. But you can't play with sin. You cannot play with fire. Because you will get burnt, baby. Amen? And don't sit up there saying, well, I'll forgive him tomorrow. Let me stew in it today. Now, forgive that person right away. We will pray with you. We will help you. We as your leaders will do everything we can to get you through the crisis, because we know that the pain doesn't just disappear as soon as you say, I forgive. For some of us, we know how to just shake it off. Others don't know how to do it. I understand that, and we will help you through that. We'll help you through the healing crisis. Amen? But you got to make up your mind to do it. All right. False idea number 10. It's easy to forgive. Just do it. Yeah, right. But see, some people, they, you know, people can go to one extreme or the other. How many of y'all know people will just have a hard time staying balanced? People don't seem to know how to walk in the middle of the room. They just either got to go all the way over here or all the way over there. You know, just like with our holiness movement of a century ago. Holiness unto the Lord is true. But see, what they did was they took holiness and turned it into legalism. You know, all of a sudden it wasn't no longer asking God to sanctify me and experiencing his power to live above sin and having victory over sin. Now it was, women can't wear pants. Women have to wear skirts all the way down to the knees. Now, let me say something here. If you come in here with a skirt up to here, I'm going to rebuke you. I will rebuke you. That's right. You should dress comfortably.
Yes.
A nice pair of pants, nice pair of jeans. There ain't nothing wrong with jeans. But don't be showing your nice, sexy legs and your nice, cute butt. We don't need that yet. Genevieve, God bless. Praise God. We don't need you to cause the brothers to stumble. Amen. While we want to be free and enjoy ourselves and be comfortable in our dress, we also want to live holy.
That's right.
So we don't want to go, while Victoria's word is we're kind of lax in our dress code and stuff like that. Be careful. You know the limits of modesty. You know it. So don't do it. Don't come in here trying to, tempt the brothers I won't even say nothing. I'll let the women take you. I will let the women deal with you. We got some powerful women leaders here, and they will deal with you. Praise God.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm just warning you. But people can go to one extreme or the other. It's the same thing with our charismatic movement and our faith movement and all those other things. You know, some of these things I was a part of, so I know. You know, with the teaching on positive confession and naming it and claiming it and all that stuff, people just went to an extreme. I claim that house in Jesus' name. Come on. How about asking? You know, I remember I listened to a brother on TV one time. He said how he was going through, he used to do all that. He would demand from God stuff. And he said, and then he was wondering why he wasn't getting it. He said God rebuked him. He said, your problem is you're rude. He said, he said, you need to learn some manners. He said, you need to learn to say, Father, can I have? May I please? He said, you need to learn to say please sometimes. So there's been truth taught in all these different movements. We should not listen to the critics who criticize and profusely criticize all these movements and the things they have, you know, just because of the extremes that were in these movements. What we should do is take the truth out of these movements, balance it with everything taught in the Word of God, and we begin to walk in the light of that truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's the same thing with prosperity. You know, you got people on one side saying, well, all that prosperity preaching, that Creflo Dollar, and all. You know, I happen to like Creflo.
Amen.
He's all right with me. Now, there was a time I wouldn't listen to Creflo because he was doing it, he was preaching on it, I thought, too much. But I heard him also teach on love and walking in holiness. And I said, man, this brother, he's a good teacher. So, but the thing is that, yeah, if you carry on with, I want my prosperity so that I can have my big house and my big car, then you're going to wonder why you ain't getting it.
Because you asked amiss.
Yeah, you asked amiss to spend it upon your own lust. Mm-hmm. Now, when you said, I want to prosper so that I can support my family, and then I can support Operation Eye Care and ICA and Victoria's Word, and I can give to somebody who's out on the street, you know, because, man, I'm telling you, when somebody's out on the street and I don't have any money in my pocket, I feel bad. I want to give them something. So I ask God to prosper me so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. Amen.
Amen.
So you can go to one extreme or the other in anything, and that even includes the issue of forgiveness. See, you can say, well, it's too hard for me to forgive. That's one extreme. Oh, it's easy to forgive. Just do it. That's another extreme. Every truth, or most truth, is found in the balance. I won't say every truth, because sometimes God's an extreme God himself.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, every truth is found within the balance. It is true that you can forgive and make a decision to forgive right away. But it is also difficult because you are in a warfare with the devil, and he constantly bombards your mind with what that person did to you. He constantly tries to twist the knife, the spiritual knife inside of you, and bring the hurt and the pain and the bitterness of what the person did. So it's not easy as in, okay, well, why don't you just forgive? See, some people are just cold-hearted.
You just need to get over that thing. Just get over it. Why don't you pray with the person? Why don't you sit down and talk to them and say, listen, baby, I've been through it too. I know how it feels. Why don't you cry on my shoulder for a while? Let them cry for a while. And then, after they sobbed and slobbered all over you and messed up your nice, your best dress and your best shirt, then say, listen, now that we've had our cry together, we need to work on the forgiveness. Don't just sit there and say, it's easy. Just forget it. Just do it. No, that's a false idea. That's wrong. Because the person's in a battle. They're in a battle. And emotion, sometimes the emotions are being attacked. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Emotional hurt is real. Emotional hurt is real and it's painful. And if you ain't been through it, baby, you ain't lived. I'm telling you, if you live any amount of time in this life, somebody's going to do something to hurt you. But you know what? We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got the shed blood of Jesus. And both of those will get you through this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. False idea number 11. The person must seek my forgiveness before I give it to them. Nope. Wrong answer. You remember 2 weeks ago, we learned about Stephen. We learned about Jesus. And we learned about Paul. You remember what happened with them? When Jesus was on the cross, and they was mocking him, teasing him, laughing at him, after all that he suffered, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't wait for them to say, oh, Jesus, we did you wrong, man. We're sorry. We didn't mean to put you up on that cross like that. Hey, Joe, give me the hammer so I can take the nails out of him. Fuck! Bring some of that iodine over here so we can wash his wounds. No. He didn't wait for them to do all that. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, when they were picking up rocks to stone him, he didn't sit there and wait for them to say, oh, man, hey, we're doing, this is wrong, y'all. Stop. Don't throw no more rocks at me. Stephen, hey, man, listen, this was wrong, man. I'm sorry. He didn't wait for that to happen. He said, Lord Jesus, Father, do not hold this sin against them. That's what he said. When his companions forsook him, he didn't wait for them to give him a phone call and say, yo, Paul, man, we did you wrong, bro. Man, I just need to ask you to forgive me. No, he said, I'm praying that the Lord does not hold this against him. See, these guys did not wait for somebody to come to them and ask for forgiveness. They were done wrong, and they forgave anyhow. Amen? They didn't wait for those people to come to them for forgiveness. Neither should you. You don't wait for somebody to say, listen, could you forgive me? You forgive them anyhow. Forgive them before they get to you. I tell you, I remember one time a woman, and I told you the story earlier, how people, you know, she came to me one time and people were shocked. This woman usually did not ask anybody to forgive her. And she came to me and asked me for forgiveness. And I looked at her, I said, baby, I already forgave you. I forgave you the moment you did it. And that shocked her. I said, but I forgive you. But if you want to hear from my mouth, then yes, I forgive you. But I had already forgiven you a long time ago. See, I don't wait for people to come to me for forgiveness. Because if I wait for that, it'll be a long time coming. Some of the people who hurt me ain't asked me for forgiveness yet. They thought they were in the right. Now, sometimes it takes the Spirit of God to speak to people. Because, you know, I've hurt people, and I didn't even realize I was hurting them. I didn't realize what I was doing. I thought I was doing right, and God would tell me, that was wrong. And then after fussing and fighting with the Lord, you know, how many of y'all know the Lord always wins the argument?
Oh, yeah.
You know, because the Lord don't argue with you. You know what he does? He tells you that was wrong, and you try to convince him that it wasn't, and he don't say nothing. And so when you get dead silent from the Lord, you realize, okay, I am wrong. And I go, and I've had to go and apologize to people. I've had to humble myself and say, listen, I'm sorry for what I did. You know, if you want people to do that, you need to do it first. Praise God. Stop, you know, swallow your pride. It's non-fattening. All right. Number 12. False idea number 12. The person doesn't deserve my forgiveness. Of course they don't. The person doesn't deserve your forgiveness. That part is true. But you don't wait to forgive somebody when they become deserving of it. Amen? You know what? In Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for you to become deserving of his forgiveness before he forgave you. So you don't wait for other people to forgive, to become deserving before they forgive you. Amen? He didn't die for you because you were a good person. He died in your place when you were the most offensive to him. When you smelled in his nostrils, he still forgave you. False idea number 13. Forgiveness means never confronting the person with the wrong they did. That's not true. Sometimes you do have to confront the person. There's a balance in everything. And balance, everything is determined by motives. Balance and motives determine our actions. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, Jesus gave this principle. Just before he talked about forgiveness, he talked about this principle. If a brother sins against you, then you are to go to him and him alone. In other words, if Tracy was to sin against me, I don't take Ann and Kiera and say, let's deal with this thing. No, what I do is I go to Tracy by myself. I say, listen, you know, you did that was wrong what you did to me. You know, we need to talk about this. Yeah? She can say, yeah, whatever, just get out of my house. Then, when she do that, then I will come knocking on her door with two others. Tracy, last time I came to you, you threw me out the house, so I'm here with a couple of the elders. Yeah, that's all right. All three of y'all get out of here. See, I say that because Tracy's so sweet, I couldn't even imagine this happening. See, some of y'all, if I pick one of y'all, y'all might get offended. but then, after I confronted Tracy myself, took two other people with me, and she still refused to hear me, then when Sunday comes, we bring her before the church and say, now, I got you now, girl. No, with humility, you say, Tracy, I tried to talk to you by myself. I tried to talk to you with two of the elders, and you didn't hear me. So now we're in front of the church. What do you have to say? Now it's up to Tracy to decide what she's going to do. Okay, I'm for the church. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have went this far. Or she can say, I ain't coming back to this church no more. Can't stand none of y'all anyway. So, but the thing is that there can be loving confrontation in a biblical manner. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. In other words, if Tracy did me wrong, I don't go to her house to give her a piece of my mind. I don't go there shaking my head and I can't snap my fingers. But I don't come there with my bad self and just going to tell her off. All right? I go there with humility and love trying to make a reconciliation. But sometimes you have to confront the person lovingly. So we should never say there is never any confrontation. But even if you can't have a loving confrontation, you still forgive. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're almost through. Number 14. False idea number 14. I cannot forgive the person because she is dead. Yes, you can forgive the person even if they're dead. What I mean by that, I don't mean you go to their graveyard, go to the graveyard and start talking to the tombstone. Yo, man, you did me wrong. And I'm glad you did, but I forgive you. I wish I could kick this grave open and kick your skull. But I forgive you, though. No, what you do, you simply forgive the person even though they're dead. See, remember, forgiveness is not as much for the benefit of the person as it is for you. You are simply releasing them and thereby releasing yourself from the bondage that that person put you in when they hurt you. Physically, emotionally, and most of the time, both together. So you don't worry about them being alive or dead. If your grandfather hurt you in some kind of way, you just say, God, I forgive granddaddy, even though he's dead. I forgive him. And I release him in Jesus' name. And let it go. You know, like my wife was teaching us a couple weeks ago, just confess before God what the person did to you. Talk to God. Tell him about it. Tell him how much it hurt you. But then say, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I forgive that person. And then let it go. The devil try to bring it up. Say, devil, I forgive that person in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You can't say amen, say all right.
Amen.
All right. Now, last thing. Last false idea. Number 15. Forgiveness is a New Testament concept. This is more of a theological thing. Forgiveness is not a New Testament concept. God has been teaching forgiveness throughout the whole Bible. It was even taught in the law of Moses, in Leviticus chapter 19, we were required to forgive and not hold grudges. If you're taking notes, you can write down Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. Let's turn there real quick. I think you need to see this. See, some people think that all the forgiving stuff started with Jesus Christ in the New Testament, that he came in, you know, before you could just whoop somebody's behind anytime you wanted to in the Old Testament, and they did you wrong, you know, they thought you had the right to just take them off. And then under the New Testament, Jesus came back and said, well, I'm changing things. You no longer have the right to just take personal vengeance. From now on, you need to learn to forgive. No, this was always taught in the scriptures. God is a God who does not change. Now, there might be certain things he made change as long as they don't affect the foundation of his word. You know, because God is the creative God, if you understand what I'm saying. He may change the way we do service here. Mm-hmm. He may tell us to change the time of the service. He may tell us to change the way we do worship. But he does not change as far as his principles are concerned.
Right.
He has always been the type of person who believed in forgiving and to always expect us to do as he does, which is to forgive. And in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, it says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, I am the Lord.
Amen.
Now this is in the book of Leviticus. This is the law of Moses. There is grace and mercy right there in the law of Moses. You were commanded not to avenge yourself, not to hold a grudge. Right there in the law of Moses. Solomon also taught this principle. Look at, let's go to Proverbs. We'll look at two scriptures in Proverbs, and then we're going to close out the service. Proverbs chapter 20. You getting anything out of this?
Imagine.
You better. Well, we'll go on with it next week and the week after. All right. Proverbs chapter 20. Begin in verse 22.
Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. So even in the Old Testament, even in the book, in the wisdom of Solomon, we learn that we don't go after people and get personal vengeance. We forgive. Look at chapter 24. Verse 29, Solomon again says, say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. And the Holy Spirit, through the King Solomon, is telling you, you don't go around saying in your heart, I'm going to do what they did to me. I'm going to get them back like they got me. No. Even in the Old Testament, we were taught to forgive. As a matter of fact, when Paul is teaching on forgiveness in Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, he actually quotes from the Old Testament. He says, it is written, if thy enemy thirst, give him something to drink, and thou shalt reap coals of fire upon his head. Paul is quoting from the Old Testament when he says that. He's quoting from the law. From an older dispensation. So forgiveness of people is not something under the new covenant, under the new testament, under this new dispensation. It is something God has always required. And if you're going to serve God, then you need to know that you've got to forgive people. Especially for those of you who feel that God has called you into ministry. You really need to learn this. Because people, everybody's not going to come up to you and say, Reverend so-and-so, or Pastor so-and-so, or Evangelist so-and-so, that was a wonderful message. You know, some of my best messages, there were some preachers I've done that was good, by my opinion. And I mean, those were some of my most criticized messages. I was preaching on healing one time. And how God wants to bless you and touch your body and heal your body. And I had a couple walk out on me. They were mad. Yeah, they were mad. They told me, God does not do that today. And you ain't got no right to be preaching on that. They sure did. Was mad. I thought, man, everybody wants to hear this. Everybody wants to hear about how you can appropriate the blessings of God. They walked out on the brother. I've had more than that. Oh, I could tell you some star rags. I remember one time talking, teaching in a Bible study, and I had a brother who had just finished reading a book called Charismatic Chaos. It was a book by a preacher that tells us that God does not do signs and wonders today. This brother he critiqued me, boy. So don't think that everybody's going to love you when you're in the ministry. You hear me? There's going to be people who are going to sit up there, you trying to preach and help people win, you trying to save their soul, and somebody says, well, you were talking about me in that message. I know you was criticizing me. Wasn't even thinking about the person. And I'm being brought before the pastors and the elders and being chastised for dogging somebody out in the pulpit and wasn't even thinking about them. You know, the Holy Spirit is smacking you around. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a delivery man. But see, I'm just telling you, if you're in the ministry, this is something you really got to learn, is to forgive people. Because people will do you wrong. But see, that's any walk of life, any service you do in the church. Somebody's going to get mad at you. If we promote you to be, say, head usher, somebody's going to get mad. Why didn't the pastors promote me to that? I've been coming here longer. Well, you may have been coming here longer, but you've been skipping like 30 Sundays. We need somebody reliable. Praise God. But you know, people going to get mad at you. They're going to get jealous of you. But you've got to learn to love and forgive. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Have you gotten anything out of this?
Amen.
Have you learned something?
Amen.
How many of y'all have made up your minds you're going to forgive people when they do you wrong?
Amen.
Then I don't want y'all ever playing that song again. Hey, I want you to play another somebody done somebody wrong song and make it last too long. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of y'all been blessed today?
Amen.
Praise God.